sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we're here with brand new episodes every other week. New guests to talk about their Disney experiences, all the latest news from the parks and top tips if you're going to be going very soon. We are on the socials at Pod Magical, whether it's Instagram or X or Facebook or TikTok. Do follow along. Any news that comes out between now and the next podcast, or if you want to get in touch with any questions, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest, that's where everything is between the podcasts. And also, if you've been on there over the last few weeks, you might have been following my journey because I am just back from 2 weeks in the bubble, 2 weeks at Walt Disney World. So I thought this episode, let's do something slightly different, something I've not done before. I thought as I've been to Disney World for the last 2 weeks, I'd like to do a trip report. So let me fill you in on some of the things I've experienced, some of my favourite things, some new things, some things that have changed, because I haven't been to do a two-week old-school Disney holiday for about 5 years. People say, oh, you must be there all the time. But it's got to be before the pandemic that I did 2 weeks at Disney World. So let me run through some of the stuff, some tips that I picked up on the way, and I don't know, maybe it could be some help if you're going to be going to Walt Disney World very soon. All the pictures and trip reports are on particularly Facebook and Instagram. You can follow along there. And on my Instagram stories, I saved my final day, day 14. I did four parks in one day. So all that is on there. Maybe you want to go online now and follow along and look at the pictures as I'm talking you through some of the stuff I did. I'm not going to go into details of like every single day, but you know, a few of the highlights that I've got from my trip, starting with travel day. Actually stayed at the Premier Inn in Uxbridge the night before. So we flew out with Virgin Atlantic. It was an early morning Saturday flight, and we found out, you know, you can stay at Heathrow Airport. It's very handy. And you don't want to be too far away from the airport, especially when you've got a flight. If it's a two-hour drive, you want to be near Heathrow Airport, which is what we did. But rather than paying for an airport hotel, I found a Premier Inn or a Travel Lodge about 10 minutes drive from the airport is good enough. So the Premier Inn Uxbridge, which is about a 15-minute drive from Heathrow. Then we used the meet and greet parking at Heathrow Airport. Easily checked in with Virgin. We flew premium economy return on this flight. And because it was an early flight, this is really interesting actually, because pre-selected our meals. So usually you get a hot meal when you get on. But I thought, well, this flight's like 9:30, 10:00. Are they going to serve me like chicken or beef and a gin and tonic and a red wine at that time in the morning? I think Virgin were trying this out because we'd still pre-ordered our hot meal, but we didn't actually get that until about an hour and a half before landing. So the first meal on board was actually brunch, which I thought was a great idea. I went for the eggs royale with salmon and hollandaise sauce, and there was a waffle with a banoffee sauce as well on there. We even had a couple of mimosas. I do think it missed that drink service because it was like halfway through the flight before we had a drink service, but I loved the idea of having brunch. So for the early morning flights version, I hope you would keep that. The flight was very interesting because we landed on time at Orlando International Airport, and as we touched down on the runway, we immediately took off again, which I have never experienced before. Apparently it was something to do with strong winds. A lot of people who around me were very nervous flyers were very, very nervous when that happened. We literally thrusted and went back up. So it was about 10, 15 minutes before we properly landed. And the pilot got a right old round of applause for that one. So that was really interesting. going through customs, immigration, that was pretty straightforward. Bags were waiting almost straight away. And to get from the airport to our hotel, this is the first time I've used a ride share. We use Lyft, either Lyft or Uber. Previous before, it's been the Magical Express, which is free. When that went, I just paid for the Mears Connect. But sometimes with the Mears Connect, you're waiting half an hour, 45 minutes before the coach leaves, and then it drops at other resorts. So I thought this time, let's try using Lyft, because luckily, a few days before I went on holiday, I got a message from Lyft to say, we haven't seen you for a while. How about 50% off your next trip if it's within the next 7 days? Well, it was. So it actually only cost $35. Really easy as well to get a Lyft or an Uber from Orlando Airport. You put in your collection, it'll give you a choice of numbers of where you can stand and wait. So it wasn't like, because sometimes everybody's on top of one another trying to see and they don't have the number plate at the front. It's always at the back. So that was pretty straightforward. $35 to get me to Boardwalk. Incidentally, that was with 50% off and tip. The Uber on the way back, the Lyft on the way back, was only $30 without a 50% off coupon. So that was interesting. And I think for the time you're saving, $30, $35, $40 between a few people is not too bad. We were staying at Boardwalk for this trip because we're DVC members. So we didn't book a package. We didn't include the dining plan. Didn't even pay for Genie Plus on this trip. So it was a Boardwalk DVC stay. I don't actually own a Boardwalk. Own at Riviera. So we booked Riviera our 11 months out, and then 7 months when you can start moving it. We gradually kept looking for days to come up the Boardwalk. So I love the Boardwalk. The fact that you can walk within 5-10 minutes to Hollywood Studios one way and Epcot in the other direction, it was just perfect. I did request a room on the Village Green. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. We did get a great room that overlooked the Swan and Dolphin just by the water there. So it's quite nice to open the doors and you could see the water and the friendship boats going past, which is really good. So a nice room overlooking the Swan, and also it was a refurb room. Some beautiful detailed pictures of Mickey and Minnie and Pluto dressed in kind of like Victorian regalia. We had characters in the curtains as well. So a really nice room with being a DVC room as well. We've got the fridge and the coffee machine, and we've got the microwave oven. So it did mean we could actually take a few bits and bobs with us, like porridge and stuff, just to eat for the first few days. Some dry foods that we could have for breakfast. So that was the arrival day. The arrival night, we went over to Epcot because we've got annual passes. This is really annoying. We didn't have the UK 14-day ticket, the 7-day for 14-day. We actually have annual passes because you get a cheaper annual pass if you're a DVC member. But with annual passes, you still have to make those park reservations, which is really annoying. So we made a park reservation for the first night. We went to Epcot. The reason we did this was we thought if we get the Wi-Fi on the plane, then we could maybe get a virtual queue for Guardians at 7 a.m, which was 12 noon UK time. Unfortunately, the Wi-Fi didn't work, so that didn't happen. But we still went over to Epcot. We had a couple of snacks from the food booths from the Flower and Garden Festival because it was the last day that one of them was changing over, so I wanted the scallops, so we had that. I also wanted to see Starship, who were on We Built This City. Managed to see them as well. Without booking a dining reservation, without standing in a long queue, there was quite a bit of availability, so we just rocked up like 5-10 minutes before we watched them. And then at 9 o'clock, we were going to stay for fireworks, but because I'd not seen Luminous before at Epcot, I thought, I don't really want to watch that to be jet-lagged. So we went over to Hollywood Studios to watch Fantasmic instead. It's a great first night thing to do, isn't it? Fantasmic. So I managed to watch that back into the hotel room for 10 o'clock at night. It's the big challenge on the first day, isn't it? Just managing to stay awake. So we managed at 10 o'clock. And of course, the following day, wide awake, up at 5 o'clock, we'd brought our breakfast, so we had breakfast in the room and made our way over to Animal Kingdom. So Animal Kingdom opened at 8 o'clock that day. It's a good first day thing to do, Animal Kingdom. I know a lot of people like to go to Magic Kingdom to walk down Main Street on the first day. And well, maybe it's your first time, that's quite a good thing to do. But if you've been before and you know you're going to be awake early, go to the first park that opens. So that, for us, that was Animal Kingdom. 7:30 it was open for resort guests. We went down for the bus around 6:45. As we got to the bus stop, the bus came in straight away. How lucky was that? And in fact, pretty much every time I went for a bus, either from our resort or from a park or from Disney Springs, there was buses just coming in. We waited a couple of minutes. The longest we waited was one night, and that was the end of the night at Magic Kingdom, where it was really busy and we waited about 15, 20 minutes. But apart from that, it was just like a couple of minutes for buses. So lucky. So we got to Animal Kingdom around 7 o'clock, got in line, the park opened. We didn't head to Flight of Passage like everybody else. Because I knew we were going to do that on another date, so we headed to Everest. We got there for the first ride of the day. It was a walk-on. We got off it, and it was still showing a five-minute wait, so we got on again. And then at 8 o'clock, headed over to do the safaris. Safaris don't open when the park opens for resort guests. So safaris, even though the park opened at 7:30 for resort guests, it didn't actually open until 8 o'clock on the official park opening. So just before 8, we got to safaris. That was a walk-on. Did that. We got off that, by the way. That was posting a 60-minute wait at about 8:20. So that was a good decision to do that. Went over to Dinosaur. That was shown a 10-minute wait. So in that morning, in like the first 90 minutes, we'd done three attractions, one of which we did twice. Also, with it being a Sunday, I wanted to head over to Celebration. Now, a lot of people on the podcast, a lot of podcast guests, I've recommended going to Celebration. This is the little town that Disney built. So I thought, on this trip, I want to go to Celebration to experience it. So we did it on the Sunday morning, because Sunday mornings, Celebration have a little farmer's market. Sunday mornings between 10 and 2. So I wanted to do that. So we got an Uber at about, I think about 10:30, 11 o'clock. We only did a couple of hours at Animal Kingdom. Got an Uber over to Celebration. It is, as everybody has described it, this beautiful, picture-perfect town. Very Desperate Housewives. Reminded me a little bit of the town from Back to the Future. Just everything was just so clean and tidy. The sun was shining. The market stalls were out. Had a coconut water out of a coconut. Fantastic. Then from there, headed over to Disney Springs because we had a brunch reservation for Summer House on the Lake. Yes. Going to Disney Springs, you'd think the first place I was going to go was to Homecoming. Well, I did have a reservation for Homecoming. We did go to Homecoming later in the trip. We also went to Gideon's later in the trip, and also to Eat, which is the brand new quick service over at Disney Springs. Let me talk you through some of the places I ate at Disney Springs, actually. Summer House on the Lake, I wanted to do brunch. Now, it was quite limited. We only had a couple of days to do, because brunch is only Saturdays and Sundays. That was the one I wanted to go to, because I've seen so many pictures of the huge cinnamon roll that people have been taking pictures of. And let me tell you, it was huge. In fact, between the two of us, we had half of it. And then the other half was saved for breakfast the following morning. Also, the kale salad was really nice. The location is perfect. If you can request a table by the water, it's just brilliant. A Sunday afternoon, watching the cars coming and going out of the water, just sitting back, having a nice salad and an iced latte and that incredible cinnamon roll. So perfect. Other places I'd eaten at Disney Springs then. Yes, I went back to Homecoming on the trip. I actually had two reservations for Homecoming. We did only go to one of them. I had the chicken and donuts, old school. I even had dessert, because I don't think they'd done this on previous trips. Homecoming, now I've got a dessert sampler. So you've got to save room for dessert. It's very difficult to save room at Homecoming after you've had the fried chicken. Art Smith's fucking, it's just the best. But they had a little sampler of desserts, which was three small desserts. So we had that. Yeah, we had a box to take it over. So that was another breakfast. Also went over to Gideon's. Got to have the coffee. So I did actually have the Gideon's before I went to Homecoming, but only for the coffee, only for the peanut butter cold brew. Also, I got a cookie as well, but because I was going over to Art Smith's, I didn't eat my cookie, which is why my cookie lasted me 3 days. That was also a peanut butter cold brew cookie, which I didn't realise. That was the first day it came available. So yeah, that was one ticked off the box. Only waited about 10 minutes because we went to Gideon's midweek when it's not quite as busy. Also, another place we ate at Disney Springs was Eat. Now, this is, I don't know whether you remember, where the quick service pizza place used to be. It was just by the Christmas shop, just coming in there. Is it called the Easter Market? So Eats only been open a couple of months, and I saw they got a bread service. I saw it was Indian food. I wasn't quite sure how Indian food would actually work in the heat that you get in Orlando. But let me tell you, it works fantastically. I really wanted to try the poutine. There's chicken poutine. Didn't have space for that because we had the bread service. And because it's quick service, you go up to the counter, you order, and then they bring the food to you. Also, we've got a DVC discount there. But yeah, Eat, I strongly recommend. Try the bread service. Just incredible food down there. So many brilliant places to eat at Disney Springs. And my list is getting longer and longer. But yes, next time I go, I will have to go back to Eat. Yes, I will have to go back to Summer House on the Lake. And yes, of course, I will have to go back to Chef Art Smith's homecoming. Because I've got the refillable moonshine mug. So I've got to go back for my $15 moonshine, which has provided me with about 10 moonshines over my trip. So back to the day. This is only day two now. Later that evening, we went back to Epcot to do the fireworks because we were a little bit more awake. So the first time I saw Luminous, it's got a couple of original songs in, which I love. It just works really well. However, there seems to be less pyro than Harmonious in Illuminations. And there's a bit of a lull in the middle of it. The beginning song, the first few minutes, the end song, the last few minutes, incredible. But the first time, it just left me a little bit disappointed. I did go and see it about four or five times more. And each time I saw it, it did get better. We actually did the Rose and Crown dining package one night, which was really good. You get three courses and unlimited drinks for 90 minutes and a great view of the fireworks. And I think at that point, when I was up closer to it, and I think with the fireworks at Epcot, I think you do need a full-on view. So you do need to pitch out a little bit. Previous fireworks, you could kind of like turn up 5 minutes before and stand at the back and see over people's heads. This one, I do think you need to see the lagoon. I think you need to see the fountains as well as the fireworks to make it work. But yeah, it was giving me the chills. And every time I saw it, it grew on me. But that first time, yeah. It was a bit of a grower. So going into our first full week, the Monday morning, we decided to go over to Universal Studios because that night, Monday night, we actually had tickets to go over to do the Magic Kingdom After Hours that we paid for, which only started at 10 o'clock at night. So we thought, well, let's use the early morning advantage. We'll have a few hours at Universal. We'll do a little bit of shopping at the outlets and then we'll come back, have a snooze, and then we're ready to go to Magic Kingdom at night. So we got the Uber over from the boardwalk to Universal. It was about $22. What I completely forgot is Islands of Adventure. If you're staying at Universal, it's early morning entry. So for the rest of us, we had to kind of like hang around till 9 o'clock, by which time the park was quite busy. 2 hour wait for Hagrid. It was about 15, 20 minutes to do Velociraptor. We made the mistake of doing Hagrid's. So we got in the queue for Hagrid's. It was 2 hours. So we didn't get out until 11. And then the queue for everything else was like 45 minutes, an hour. So it was a bit of a mistake. What I really should have done, if you're rope dropping Universal and you're not staying at Universal, you've not got that half an hour entry, do the Universal Studios Park because that opens at 9 o'clock for everybody, regardless of where you're staying. So you're kind of on an even playing field. So we only had a few hours over at Universal. We then went over to Vineland because I wanted to go to the Disney shop. Again, the queue for that was massive, so we didn't go in. But I did go to the Cheesecake Factory. There's a Cheesecake Factory just in walking distance from Vineland. I say walking distance. It's walking distance to people from the UK. People in America will get a car and drive 2 minutes to go there. UK, the only people we saw walking, I thought they're Brits because they're walking. So Cheesecake Factory was open. There was a Target next door. So we got a few bits and bobs for the room to get us through the rest of the trip. Some Jarritos was like $1.30 for a big bottle. You know the Jarritos they sell at the Mexican Pavilion for a few dollars for a little bottle? You can get a big bottle for like half the price of a little bottle at the Target. Obviously, we've got the Pringles, we've got the M&Ms, we've got some more cookies, we've got some eggs and some bagels and stuff. So stuff to get us through. We were still going through the colossal cinnamon roll at this point from from the day before. So back to the room for a nap and we headed over to Magic Kingdom. Around 5 o'clock, we were intending on going a little bit later, but you know when you're awake and you're at Disney and you're sitting there going, well, we might as well go over. Let's go over to Magic Kingdom. So we got to Magic Kingdom about 5 o'clock. Bear in mind, the After Hours event didn't start for another 5 hours. Didn't start till 10. But when we got in, we noticed that Tron were still advertising virtual queues available. So the virtual queues, they come available at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then if you're in the park, there's another drop at 1 o'clock. And it was the 1 o'clock by 5. They were still available. So we managed to get a virtual queue for Tron, which didn't get called till really later on at the night. So we had dinner at Liberty Tree Tavern. Again, never been there before. That's like Thanksgiving dinner, the ooey gooey cake. Brilliant. We then watched Happily Ever After at 9, and it was only after Happily Ever After, about 9:30, we got called for Tron. So we went there, and we must have been like the last people to be called because there was nobody in line. Literally, we walked straight on Tron. There was about 4 or 5 other people on the ride. That got us through to the After Hours event, which started at 10 o'clock. Again, by that time, it was really quiet. Seven Dwarfs, Peter Pan, Space Mountain, they dropped down to pretty much a walk on. Tron, again, if you pay for the After Hours event, Tron just operates as a normal standby queue. So if you want to go to the After Hours event and spend your 3 hours just doing Tron, you can. You can get off and queue and walk on. But it was a lot busier for the After Hours. I think most people are going for that. Also at the After Hours at Magic Kingdom, you get to watch Enchantment, which is the old firework display. So that gets shown around 11 o'clock. So we did that. We tried to get our value for money, but it gets like midnight, 12:30, and I go, oh, we've got to go back. We're dropping at this point. So Disney tired, back to the boardwalk. The following morning, yes, we had to have a lie-in, although I did set an alarm for about 5 to 7 just to get our Guardians virtual queue. So we got group 62 back to sleep, woke up, just kept an eye on when we were going to get called for that. So straight over to Epcot to do that, and just had a bit of a chill day walking around the Epcot Flower and Garden, looking at the topiaries. We got called for Guardians Disco Inferno. We got for that one. Went over to, oh, by the way, it's Caribbean Beach. Again, because this was recommended by various podcast guests. Sebastian's Bistro at Caribbean Beach. Oh, my word. This is a hidden gem. So it's family-style Caribbean food, a brilliant salad. You get meats. The steak was incredible. We also had the plant-based alternative as well. If you're looking for a plant-based option, according to our server, the head chef at Sebastian's is vegan. So he's very much created the vegan alternative, the plant-based alternative, with a lot of love and care. So if you like Ahana, I think this is much better value for money. It's like $38 for an adult, including your soft drinks. So strongly recommend Caribbean Beach, Sebastian's Bistro. The following day, we headed to Hollywood Studios. Again, there were so many things on this trip that were like first times or unique events, because the day we went to Hollywood Studios, it was the 35th anniversary of Hollywood Studios. So we got the special 35th anniversary park map. We rope dropped Tower of Terror. We got off Tower of Terror. We noticed that Slinky Dog was about 30 minutes. So we went onto that, and I think it was about 20 minutes to get on that. So just before the craziness of people heading in for the 35th, it was, a really quiet 30 minutes for resort guests. We even managed to do Mickey and Minnie before we went over to the 35th birthday event, which was starting about 11, but I noticed the queues were getting really big. So I thought, well, we've only got one chance to do this the entire trip. This is only happening once. So we got in line for the Beauty and the Beast Theatre around 10 o'clock. Well worth it, because Kermit and Miss Piggy were hosting the 35th anniversary event, which was brilliant. We also got a virtual queue to go in the shop to buy the 35th anniversary Loungefly backpack. So I think a lot of my tips for this podcast and from this trip is get in early. That first week, get up, get in early. That evening we had extra magic hours at Magic Kingdom on the Wednesday. We were staying at a Deluxe or a DVC. So we got over to there for Happily Ever After, and we went over to do Wilderness Lodge first, actually, for a little bit of food, because a lot of people were raving out about the burger over at Wilderness Lodge. It was good, but I don't think it was worth $23. But I do like to sit out over at Gazer Point. That's very nice, and get that resort boat back over to Magic Kingdom in time for the fireworks and then the extended evening hours, which again started at 10 till midnight. Very quiet, to be honest. Just as quiet as the paid-for event, not going to lie. Other things that we did on this trip, we also did the Up Close with Rhinos tour at Animal Kingdom. Now, this only happens once a day, 11 o'clock every morning. You need to book it in advance. You need to book it 60 days out.
if not a few days after that, because this sells out really fast. It's only $49. The money goes to the Disney Conservation Fund. There's a few little tours you can do at Animal Kingdom. This one, up close with rhinos, because I'd watched the series on Disney Plus, I wanted to do that. So we got to the park about 10, watched Festival of the Lion King, because I knew that, come out of that, that's where we had to check in for the tour. So 11 o'clock, we checked in for the tour. This is completely backstage, so unfortunately I couldn't take any pictures of this on for socials. But you don't realise until you get to Animal Kingdom. I know that Animal Kingdom, the safari area, the safari is actually, that land is bigger than the whole of Magic Kingdom. Just the safari, just the savannah. The park itself, behind the scenes, is even bigger. Did you know that 80% of the food that the animals eat at Animal Kingdom is grown on site? There is a huge area where they grow all the food, like even the bananas. The area where they grow the food is bigger than the whole of Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. So you've got the food area where they grow the food is bigger than Disneyland. You've got the savannah, which is bigger than Magic Kingdom. That is how busy this place is. I thought, why are we getting a van? We're literally going to see the rhinos. Surely it's at the back. We're there about 10, 15 minutes just to drive around the back. So we got to the area where the rhinos were kept. We met the keepers. We met Kiama, who was the rhino who loved it. We even got to give her a little bit of a stroke. Such a wonderful relationship you see that the keepers have with their animals as well. And the animals, like, she was ready for it. She was ready to be scratched. She knew 11 o'clock, people were coming. She was getting extra hate. She was ready to show us her teeth. Such a superb. I would thoroughly recommend, if you want to do something different, you've been to Animal Kingdom a few times, you want to get up close to the animals. And they do an elephant one as well, but you need to book 60 days out. Thoroughly recommend that. Lunch that day was at Yak and Yeti. Tuna nachos, brilliant. That afternoon, this was such a busy day, we went over to the Contemporary Resort to watch Happily Ever After fireworks from the DVC Lounge. So top of the Contemporary at Bay Lake Tower, there's a DVC Lounge, only open to DVC members. On a Friday, they do a dessert party. It's cheaper than the Magic Kingdom dessert parties. They've got a fully open bar. So it was like an hour before the fireworks and then it stayed open after. So if you wanted an old-fashioned or you wanted champagne, whatever you want, and there was desserts there as well. So that was a really good thing to do. If you're a DVC member, you need to book with member services to do that. The following day, again, another unique day for this trip. The following day was May the 4th. Yes, Star Wars Day. Now, in a moment of madness, as I mentioned, because we have the annual passes, you have to book your park, you have to do your park passes. So I thought, oh, May the 4th, got to go to Hollywood Studios for Star Wars Day. So we woke up that morning and thought, have we made a mistake? Surely the whole of Disney World is going to go to Hollywood Studios and Galaxy's Edge to do Star Wars attractions. So we got to the parks. I think the park opened at 8 o'clock for resort guests. So it was 8:30 for everyone else. It actually had just gone 8:30 by the time we got over there, because you're rushing around and you're tired from the day before. So we thought, right, okay, we've made this park pass. We're at Hollywood Studios. Let's not do Star Wars. Let's do Toy Story, because everybody's going to be going over to Galaxy's Edge. Let's ignore that. Let's not follow the crowd. Let's do Slinky Dog. So we got in the park, we checked the app, Slinky Dog was down. Oh, so we looked at that, and this is the strange thing. Star Wars Day, the queue time for Rise of the Resistance was like 40, 50 minutes long on Star Wars. On any day, that's really short. So we thought, let's just go for it. May the 4th, let's just go to Rise of the Resistance on Star Wars Day. So we headed for it. And I think anything with rope drop, you've got to commit. You've got to commit to what you want to do. You've got to get a plan and you've got to stick to it. Even if you think that queue looks really long, even if you get in the queue to enter the parks and you're in that queue that is not moving and people are going in front of you and you're getting that panic going, oh, this is no worth it now. There's no point doing Rise of the Resistance or Slinky Dog or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Flight of Passage, because there's got to be so many people in front of us. If you've got to the park before rope drop and you've queued today, stick with it. And also on that subject, and I mentioned this on my Instagram story as well, if you suffer from any kind of anxiety or you don't like crowds, rope drop is not for you. Now, I mentioned this and a few people laughed, going, oh, that's really funny. No, I genuinely mean it. If you suffer from anxiety, don't do rope drop. If you want to do rise, or you want to do guardian, or whatever, pay for the lightning lane, play for the individual lightning lane. Don't put yourself through it, because it can bring on a lot of panics. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of crowds, there's a lot of moving, there's a lot of racing going on, a lot of fast walking. So if you suffer from anxiety, don't do rope drop, which technically we didn't do rope drop, because it was 5 minutes after the park opened that we ended up doing Rise of the Resistance. So we did that and we were on the attraction within 15 minutes on Star Wars Day. And we realised actually that the biggest queues on Star Wars Day weren't actually for the Star Wars attractions. People were queuing up for the Stormtrooper popcorn bucket. That's where everybody was. So after that, we realised that the Grogu Mandalorian was coming out. So we got to meet Grogu Mandalorian. Again, there is no formal queue for that. You kind of like stand around him. But I love the way he does it, because he'll kind of select you out of the crowd to come over for a picture and meet Grogu. I love that. So I met Grogu on Star Wars Day. Also met Edna Mode and Sully, did Tower of Terror, which was quite low. Did Muppets, which is always low. One Man's Dream, which is another attraction that you should do. If you know the park is busy or it's really hot, have a look. Just relive Walt's story. See the film. Pay tribute to Walt. And, you know, that's the reason. He's the reason that we go to these parks. All got through all that before 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, we had lunch at Roundup Rodeo Barbecue in Toy Story Land. Again, this is another first. $45 each for the adults. There is, again, so much food that comes out to you. This is served family style in Toy Story Land. So you start off with the watermelon salad that I love. There was the beans. I had beef brisket and potato barrels. Again, there was another plant-based choice, which is really good. And then when the dessert comes out, you get a choice of dessert. But our server said to her, she said, I know you're supposed to get one, but she went, if you want another one after you've eaten that, just give me a shout. So we had the forky cupcake for a photograph. The desserts are actually quite small, thankfully. And also as well, it's a really fun environment because your servers play along. It's all decorated like, you know, again, you're in Andy's back garden and you've shrunk down to the size of a toy. And if there's an announcement that Andy's coming, everybody has got to keep as still as possible. So just look around with your eyeballs at people who are like mid-bite, or if the servers are mid carrying a tray of drinks over, everybody stands really still. So again, Roundup Rodeo Barbecue. I really enjoyed it. Whether I'd go back again, I'm not sure, but it's fun. Maybe I will. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. That night, by the way, as if that day wasn't busy enough, we had a bit of an afternoon by the pool, quite a chilled evening. We did the double that night for nighttime spectaculars, because some nights Epcot have got the fireworks at 9, and then Fantasmic have got two shows at 9 and then again at 10:30. So Hollywood Studios is open until 10. So you can watch the fireworks at 9 and then leg it over, you know, fast walking. If you go through the boardwalk area, don't bother getting the ferry or the cable cars, because it'll take too long. You probably won't make it in time. But you can fast walk to get into Hollywood Studios just before 10 to watch the firework, to watch Fantasmic at 10:30. Top tip, if there is a second showing of Fantasmic, always do the second showing. You can rock up 5, maybe 10 minutes before and get a really good view, because most people have gone to the 9 o'clock one. And also, the second show, they don't sell dining packages for that. So there's a lot more of availability. Great central view we had for that. The following day, we had a bit of a chill day. It was a Sunday, so we did a little bit resort hopping, went over to Coronado Springs, had the coffee, the Cafe Bonbon, again, has been recommended on the podcast, which is like a shot of coffee with condensed milk. Very good. Shouldn't have really had it at 9 o'clock at night. It's more of a 9 o'clock in the morning thing, but we had that. The Barcelona bar in the lobby is where you can get that. They have it at the Grandestino Tower there. We had dinner over there that night at Toledo, which is the top of Grandestino Tower, thinking that we'd get to see the fireworks, but I think they're too far away. I thought, oh, we might see the fireworks from over there. But again, really nice food over at Coronado Springs. Six Bridges, didn't do on this trip, but again, another great place to sit outside. If you want to have a few drinks, they do like a sangria class, if you want to do that at Six Bridges. Following day, we did an old school Magic Kingdom day. Can you believe I've been here, right? I'm now into a week of the trip, and it wasn't until the Monday that I actually, firstly, went to Guston's Tavern for the big cinnamon roll there. Extra icing, obviously. We had lunch at Pinocchio's. Again, if you're going to go to Pinocchio's at Magic Kingdom, sit upstairs. There's tables upstairs that nobody ever goes to. So do mobile ordering, get your food, go and sit upstairs, and you can watch people either come in through It's a Small World, or you can watch the world go by outside. That's great. We had a Dole Whip for dessert. And then the parade. First time this trip that I'd seen the parade. Can you believe that? Incredible. Also, the Smellephants on Parade had just started over at Storybook Circus. So you get a map and you get stickers and you go around and you're supposed to stick the stickers regarding the smell of the elephant. I couldn't smell anything, to be honest. It didn't work for me. Dinner that evening over at Shiki Chai, which is over at Epcot. We had a 7 o'clock table, which unfortunately I couldn't drag out for 2 hours because the table we got over there had the most incredible view of World Showcase Lagoon at Epcot. If I could have stayed for 2 hours and watched the fireworks, brilliant. So Shiki Chai, Japanese restaurant. I think it's described as a Japanese gastropub. They do have a set menu, 4 courses for 65, or you can get some smaller dishes and share them. I had the Wagyu gyoza, which was about $20. Again, we stayed for the fireworks at Epcot. That night was the extended evening hours at Epcot. So we had 2 hours to do Test Track and Frozen and Guardians, which has got its own virtual queue, by the way. If you get to do the extended evening hours for Deluxe, 6 o'clock that evening, that's when the virtual queue opens. The following day was an old school Hollywood Studios day. We did all the Toy Story attractions, went over to Epcot for lunch, just kind of walking around World Showcase and nibbling. Boma for dinner that night over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Again, another first. We were drawn by the Zebra Domes. I only managed 4, but such a good buffet. If you like soups and salads, because people go, usually in the buffet, you kind of like miss out the soups and salads. If you go to Boma, don't miss the soups and salads. Great soups and salads at Boma. Following day, we're getting lazier as this trip goes on. We've got a virtual queue for Guardians. Oh, this was the day, got the virtual queue at 7 o'clock. I must have been fast fingered that day because I got group number 8. Now, the intention wasn't really to do much that day. I think we were going over to Disney Springs in the afternoon or something. I can't remember. But anyway, we got group number 8 and I knew that as soon as the attraction opens, they open it to like the first few boarding groups. I thought, right, we've got early park admission. I'm going to go straight to Epcot. I'm going to rope drop Epcot, but I'm not going to head to like Test Track or Remy or Frozen, because you probably could rope drop one of the attractions and then because you've got your virtual queue for Guardians, get on it straight away. But I knew that I could be on Guardians as soon as it opened. So I thought, right, it's about 8:45 at this point. Started walking over toward Guardians. And just as I got there, my boarding group was called. This was about 8:45, 8:50 in the morning, group number 8. And I think when the attraction opened, the attraction didn't open bang on 8:30, but it was before 9. So just before the actual park opening. They opened about the first 20 or so. And in fact, a few days later, we got 20 odd. So if you've got an early boarding group for Guardians, do it straight away, because I got to Guardians and when I said there was nobody on the attraction, there was nobody on the attraction. Went through the virtual queue line, straight into the first room with nobody, straight into the second room, and then another couple joined me. So there was literally 3 of us. I don't want to kind of ruin too much, but you know the room with Glenn Close and the other guy, what do they call these people at Epcot? So we went into that and then into the Guardians, and then if you've been to the attraction, as soon as the doors open to go up to the attraction, you know it's like a massive horde of people just running. There was myself and 2 other girls. We got into where the roller coasters were setting off. Nobody, they were going out empty. And so they went, right, pick a row. Any row. I have never experienced Guardians like that. I went for row number 9, by the way. Row number 9, I think, is the best row because you're kind of at the back, but you're not kind of at the back. But you're also kind of at the front, if you know what I mean. Row number 9, Epcot. If you get the early boarding group, don't hang around thinking, because that queue really does build quite fast. You're talking, usually when it gets into the bulk of the day, a good 30, 45 minutes for a virtual queue to actually get into the first room. So it's a big chunk of a day, a good hour probably to do the attraction. So yeah, that was brilliant that day. So I did Guardians and then literally went back to the hotel room. I think I hadn't had my breakfast at that time. Went to Disney Springs later on that day. Some great live entertainment over at Disney Springs, by the way. Again, you always want to go to the parks in the evening for fireworks, but Disney Springs have got incredible live performers over there. Our final day of the trip, I put a poll out on Instagram on the Thursday night to go, tomorrow is my last day, should I try and do four parks in one day? And it was about 95% of people said, yes, you should. So, final day, four parks, one day. Bear in mind, at this point, haven't used Genie Plus the entire trip. Just got through the attractions I wanted by getting up early, using advantages of that 30 minutes or staying for those extra hours. This trip, we did actually cave in and buy an individual lightning lane for Tron. Because we could only get one, so I got the virtual queue for Guardians and we caved in and we bought the one for Tron later on. Because, you know, you want to do everything on your last day, don't you? So 6 o'clock start, got the bus to Animal Kingdom, rope drop was 7:30. That was the day we decided to do Flight of Passage. We decided to rope drop Flight of Passage. In the queue, by the way, I bumped into Chris, who was on the podcast about 4 years ago. Hello, Chris. Got to get him back on. He went, Andy? Oh, no, yeah. He went, it's Chris. I was on the podcast 2020. He was there with his little boy, who was absolutely adorable. And the only ride he couldn't get on was Tron, because he wasn't quite tall enough. He's only 5, I think. So maybe next time, when you're a bit taller, you can do Tron. But hello, Chris. Nice to meet you. So we were on and off Flight of Passage by 8 o'clock. That's the time that Safari's open, so we got in line for Safari's. The animals were up and about. Saw the rhino, who we met on the rhino tour, who was out and about on the savannah. We got in line for Everest. I was about a 10-minute wait. Dinosaur was about a 10-minute wait. So then we went over to Hollywood Studios. So we got to Hollywood Studios around 10:30. Now, the problem is we left Animal Kingdom. Remember, we're doing four parks in one day here. Left Animal Kingdom before 10. The buses to the parks don't start till after 10. So we had to get a bus from Animal Kingdom back to our resort, which is the boardwalk, and then we walked from the boardwalk to Hollywood Studios, which got us there about 10:30. I think, well, actually, if we'd have waited till 10 and got the bus, we probably would have saved about 15 minutes and a lot of walking. So Hollywood Studios, by this time it was getting quite busy, so we did some of the lower attraction wait times. Star Tours, we did Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, which, if you don't mind being split up from your party, do the single rider queue because it's like 5-10 minutes if you don't mind being stuck with other people, that's fine. So we did Smuggler's Run, Ronto Wrap for lunch, Cookie Nom Nom for dessert. We decided to get in line for Tower of Terror, which was shown about 30 minutes. It was about 30 minutes. By that time, we did a very fast walk over to Epcot because we had to get... This is difficult. We had to get to Epcot by 1 o'clock because, again, we didn't have the 14-day ticket and we had the annual passes and we couldn't get in the virtual queue for Guardians. So we had to get in the park by 1 o'clock. We got into the park at 1:01 and we managed to get bang on 1 o'clock. A virtual queue was like 150 or something to get to Epcot later on. We went through Epcot onto the monorail to go to Magic Kingdom, because you're getting four parks in one day, you've got to go to Magic Kingdom for the parade. So we got there around 2:30. It was only about 20 minutes to meet Mickey. So we met Mickey and then we got in line from the parade just by the castle. That's when we caved in and bought the lightning lane, the individual lightning lane for Tron. So we did Tron on that day. And what did we have to... I think we headed over to Big Thunder, which was about 1/2 hour. So we grabbed that, a couple of cheeseburger rolls to keep us going. And then we did the Ridest Wide in the Wilderness. And then back over to Epcot. We'd already walked through Epcot. We were back over to Epcot. So monorail to Epcot to do... we did Soarin', which was shown a 20-minute ride. We did single rider for Test Track. Again, if you don't mind being split up from your party and you've done Test Track a few times, single rider, you are on that attraction, like a 5-minute wait. You don't do the designing car thing. So if you don't mind that, you just want to get straight on the attraction. And sometimes, because of the format of three and three, if you get two parties of two before you, if you're doing single ride, it'll probably end up with the other half anyway, sitting in front or behind you. So we did that. We watched the fireworks at nine, watched Luminous again. Fast walked back over to Hollywood Studios to do Fantasmic at 10:30. So we got to Studios just before 10 and we thought, can we do Slinky Dog? Because you know, there's no more lightning lanes going in. And it was showing, I think it was showing about 30 minutes. So about 9:45, we did Slinky Dog. So we were on and off that about 10:15. Over to Fantasmic just in time. Watched Fantasmic and then it was back to the hotel. So there we go. Four parks, one day, 15 and a half hours of park fun we had. Attractions, snacks, parades, two nighttime spectaculars, and 40,000 steps. 40,000 steps in one day. And then headed back to the hotel. Following day, we were home. Such a great trip. Things I picked up from this trip, as I mentioned before, you've got to take advantage of those early park hours. If you're staying on site, that 30 minutes can be everything. Get there before that 30 minutes to do Remy or whatever it is you want to do, but commit. It's also quite expensive. We did a lot of restaurants this time that we probably on a next time wouldn't do. Even with a dining plan, I think buying the dining plan wouldn't have worked out. Again, because we had DVC discount on top of that. So I think with the restaurants we went to, like Sebastian's, it wouldn't have been worthwhile doing the dining plan. Get in early, save up, use Ubers, make the most of your time. You can stay on site, commit. If you rope drop in, get a plan, stick with it, but also have some downtime. Yeah, especially in that second week, have some downtime. Take as many snacks as you can for breakfast in the hotel room. If you're doing a buffet and paying for it, I've mentioned this before, we did Tusker House and we got a 10:25 breakfast reservation, which was the last one because at 11 o'clock, it's lunchtime. So we paid for breakfast, had breakfast, took our time. The lunch stuff started coming out. So I had like salmon and the really nice desserts for the price of breakfast. If you're going to be going over to Walt Disney World very soon, or maybe if you've just been, you want to do a trip report, let's get you on the podcast. Give me a shout. Pod Magical is where we are. Let's find out about your Disney trips, your Disney memories. I would love to talk to you. If you've been on before, like Chris, way back at the beginning of the podcast, let's get you back on again. If you are going to be going over the next few weeks, it is very hot. Those temperatures are getting real. There was a couple of days, and I've never seen this before, where at Epcot, a lot of the cast members were walking around with cups of water. I've never seen that before. It's very, very hot. So take time to sit by the pool or chill in your room. Take advantage of that air conditioning. Disney Springs is good midweek. Go midweek. A lot of stuff you want to do. You want to go to Gideon's. Again, midweek is the best time. Eat. I would strongly recommend getting in there. Booking things 60 days out or 60 days plus if you can for some of those most popular restaurants. If you want to do Space 220, you want to do the Rhino Tour, again, you've got to book that in advance. Stuff happening at Walt Disney World. Well, we know that the date has been released for Tiana. Yes, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which they were testing when I was there. They were testing it during the day and during the night. Looks great at night. It looks like one of those that you're probably going to have to do twice. 28th of June is the opening date. It will be on the Genie Plus. They are not using individual lightning lanes for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. It's going to be on the regular Genie Plus. So if you're getting your Genie Plus, don't forget you can buy it from midnight the day before. And at 7 a.m, you need to be on it. If you want to get Tiana, same goes for Slinky Dog and Ratatouille. 7 o'clock, it's got to be the first lightning lane you get, and you've just got to stick with whatever time you get. Just hit it and get it. Again, it's going to use virtual queue. At 7 o'clock, you've got to be on it to the second. If you are in Magic Kingdom at 1 o'clock, that second virtual queue will drop as well. Tron and Guardians, they continue to stay on the virtual queue as well. So if you're going to be going when Tiana's opened, that's your plan of action for that. And of course, tickets on sale now as well. If you're going to be there for Halloween from August, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, tickets are on sale for that if you don't mind forking out a couple of $100. I know. Thanks for sticking with me on this podcast. I know it's been a bit of a long one. It's been the ramblings of a madman who's just come back from Disney, still going to Starbucks, still trying to pay for things in the UK with my magic band, still sitting in the car looking for the yellow tag to pull to make sure that I'm properly secured in. But thanks for listening along. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget, we're on the socials at PodMagical. My voice is going up and chatting so much. Gonna get myself some root beer now. Until next time, we're back in 2 weeks. Hit that subscribe button and please stand clear of the doors.